I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 1st, 2016 meeting of the City Council. Please join me in a salute to our flag. And just another reminder, maybe the last one, that we are leaving out the imaginary and unnecessary comma after One Nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and please be seated, and we'll have the roll call from our city clerk.
The council members are
here.
Council member Hansen.
Here.
Council member Olson.
Here.
Council member Taylor.
Here.
Council member Watson.
Present.
Council member Birch.
Here.
Council member Goodrich.
Here.
All here and accounted for. At this time in our meeting, we have what's called public comment. This is your opportunity to talk about anything that's not on the agenda. So if you want to speak about marijuana, if you want to speak about health insurance, you would wait later in the meeting for that. So if it's something that's not on tonight's agenda, which is always up front here, come to the podium. Please introduce yourself and where you live, and you have 3 minutes. Mr. Robinson.
I'm Papa John. I still live at Malloy Adult Family Home, 6072 Malloy Avenue, unless they've moved it. I have a special presentation on TOLA. I have 3 minutes, so apparently it's gunfire at the end of 3 minutes. So I'm wearing a jacket that some of you already know why I'm wearing it, because you've been here before. But I want the new city council people and the other people to know I'm wearing this because I got promoted at one time in my life last year. There's a certain person here who promoted me from a major headache to a general nuisance. And I told him at the time that I wanted just more than 3 stars, that I was aiming towards 6 per shoulder, because 5 is so last century. And so he actually helped me out. Now I'm a 12-star general nuisance, the highest-ranking general nuisance that I know of anywhere. And in regard to that, then, I want to present that same gentleman with the first-ever Papa John acknowledgement of a certificate of curmudgeonness. It's the first ever. Now, there was competition for this award, but he's not here now. So, by default, well, not really, actually, maybe by a fault, I'm awarding this to my good friend, Keith Olson. Would you pass it down and be careful now? It's precious.
It's a major award.
I can't see nothing yet.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Anybody else here for public comment? Go ahead, come on up, Fred. Introduce yourself and where you're from.
My name is Fred Rudolph, and I live 6350 Portal Way, Portal Creek Park. And I've lived in town now for 9 years. And for the past 5 years, and I think your older council members remember me coming here quite a bit. And I've been after one thing for quite some time. And originally, I started on sidewalks on Portal Way. Okay, I've given up on the sidewalks now. And I asked a few councils back about getting some small gravel along the road to fill in the puddle so that the kids walking along the road can get off the road completely and not hit, because there is no sidewalk, what would you call it, on the edge of the road to walk on. And I think here a while back, the city got a neighborhood of about $80,000 surplus. And why can't a few dollars of that be used to get the kids off the road and walking on the gravel at least? I'm sure you all don't want to have an injured child on your conscience. Now, I think it's about time. I've been working on this now for 4 to 5 years. I've been coming to the council meetings, and not a damn thing has been done. Except, I take it back. It took 3 months to patch a bump in the road on Portal Way, and nothing else is being done there. And frankly, if I was about, I spent 30 years in the military, and I don't give up very easy. And frankly, if I was about 40 years younger, I would started an action to divest Portal Way from the city, because you people don't do a darn thing with our tax money. Nothing. You don't even clean the ditches. And so I would like to see something done for a change. And it's about time. I got an offer for somebody who wants to buy my house, but I really don't want to leave Ferndale, but it keeps on going like this. I'll get the hell out of here. And please, do something for the kids. I found out there's about 400 to 500 kids that take the bus to go to school off a Portal Way. And it's a damn shame we can't do something for them.
Mr. Rudolph, may I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
I have met with our public works, and we've talked a lot about Portal Way, and we were wondering if you would actually come in, because it's a long street. We need to prioritize that street. Do you think you can leave your contact with us? We would like to have you come to City Hall and look over the street with us and talk to us about some specific areas. Could you do that for us?
I'd be glad to.
Yeah.
In fact, your previous mayor asked if I wanted to be on the Planning Commission, and I don't know.
We'll call this the Portal Road Commission, but we'd like to have you show us the spots on the map.
I'd be glad to.
Okay, so can you leave your number with Mr. Sweeney before you leave today?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Are there others that want to come up and talk at the mic today on subjects not on the agenda? Thank you, Mr. Rudolph. I'm glad you came up today. And we don't want you to move away, by the way. You need to stick around.
I really don't want to move.
Okay.
I've moved enough, believe me. In 30 years, I've moved all over the
world. Yeah, you need to stay here. We think so. Great.
Thank you.
I don't see any. Okay. Come forward, sir. Name and address.
Hi, my name's Mike Kerr, and I live at 2318 Ferndale Terrace. How are we doing tonight? That reminded me of a subject. I live right on the corner of Ferndale Terrace and Shannon Avenue. Mm-hmm. And ever since that road was cut through, the traffic through there is like a freeway. And I wanted to bring that up. I've been complaining off and on for years to the local police. You know, when kids have their breaks at lunchtime at high school, they race home to do whatever they're doing, and then they race back. But right on that corner, right on the corner where I'm at is a stop sign going two ways on a three-way intersection. And it's as if those stop signs do not exist. I mean, people just ignore those stop signs. If anybody lives in that area, you know what I'm talking about. They come around that corner 40, 50 miles an hour. A lot of times there's kids on skateboards, bicycles coming at the same time. And I've even had one or two vehicles over the last 16 years that I've lived there run up on my front lawn because they took that turn so fast. And I'm just wondering if there's some way to slow the traffic down. Obviously, stop signs don't work. I don't expect an officer to be on patrol all day there, but I wish there was some other solution because, as I say, it doesn't matter if it's teenagers or adults. They just ignore those stop signs and take that corner sometimes on two wheels.
Yeah, thank you. I know that Ferndale Terrace is high on our priorities, but maybe our public works director, Mr. Renz, can make a comment or two about that corner.
Well, I haven't looked specifically at that corner, but I do know that we just did receive $250,000 for doing some improvements that are actually stormwater improvements that are up there, but we're probably going to be looking at doing a project in that area. So I'll definitely make sure that as we move forward with that we can take into consideration if there are any improvements that need to be made in the area.
Great, thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you for coming forward. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close the public comment, and we move on to the consent agenda. And, Council, what's your pleasure? Councilmember Birch.
I make the motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second. Moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It has been adopted. Next item of business is item C, the appointment of a planning commissioner. And I'm going to ask our Community Development Director, Yuri Burnett. This is a good time to maybe talk about this whole process, since there'll be perhaps several reappointments or appointments in the next couple of years. And why don't you talk us through that a little bit, Mr.
Absolutely.
Burnett?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. Yuri Burnett, Community Development Director. So by way of background, the Planning Commission is the only board or commission that is required by the state of Washington. The city is required to have a Planning Commission. It can be anywhere from 3 to 12 members in the city of Ferndale. It is 7 members currently. According to RCW 35.63.020, and we reflect this in our own code, the city shall create a planning commission from 3 to 12 members to be appointed by the mayor or chair of the municipality and confirmed by the council or board. So as a planning commission, you have the ability to consider the individual or individuals that the mayor has appointed, and you can deny that confirmation or you can approve that confirmation. The council cannot then select someone else that they would rather take place. The mayor, if the appointment was to be denied, would have to come up with another person where you would then review. What the Planning Commission does is review a lot of the planning-related stuff that you ultimately get to look at. They weed it down and whittle it down from a large, cumbersome topic, hopefully to something that you can consider in a couple of meetings. Hopefully they've addressed some or all of the legal issues associated with that topic. And they are really a great, I wouldn't say assistance to us as staff, but they are really an assistance to the general public. So in this case, Mayor Mutchler has recommended Sean Cool, has appointed Sean Cool as the planning commissioner for your consideration. I have met Mr. Cool. I believe that the new mayor has adopted a new procedure where he interviews the candidates for the various positions. Right now we have one less than our maximum planning commissioners. We've got a lot of stuff on the agenda this year, so I hope that you make your appointment quickly and so we can get back to work.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett.
Councilmember Olson. We interviewed, how many other people did we get for applications when we left it open?
I think 4.
And we interviewed them?
I interviewed one, Mr. Cool.
That was the original one that was on there, so we didn't even consider the others?
I considered all of them, but I interviewed Mr. Cool.
Okay.
He was my choice.
No, we didn't interview anybody other than him. On his application, he states as a consulting engineer, there's a possibility that the firm I work for, Geo Engineers, would respond to requests for qualification for the city's project.
Mr. Olson,
so,
I can't hear your lips moving, but I can't.
Closer to the mic, Pete.
Can you talk up?
We can. Even though I'm a curmudgeon, I don't really yell a lot, so. We have a person who says that he is could possibly be a conflict of interest here based on his firm working or wanting to do projects. That kind of bothers me. And how did we overcome that?
Director Burnett, would you speak about this issue of conflict of interest? We now use a hearings examiner, so my understanding that would be probably a rare occurrence. What could possibly happen to Mr. Cool, who works for, I think, Geo Testing or Geo?
Geo Engineers.
Yeah, you were before Geo Test, Geo Engineers.
I have not experienced a conflict of interest as far as planning commissioner in the past. It is true that the City of Ferndale's Planning Commission does not review private development applications with the exception of annexations, rezones, or comp plan amendments, mm-hmm. whereas in the past it did consider things such as conditional uses.
Okay.
So this would never, ever become an issue? I'm looking at you, George.
I would be speculating, but I don't believe that it is likely that it would.
Well, I'm nothing against Mr. Cool. I'm not going to support this. There are other people that were put in applications for city council that were also interested in this sort of thing. And for them not to even get as much as an interview is appalling to me. So I'm not going to support it.
Thank you. Council? What is your pleasure? Councilmember Birch.
I do have one concern because he listed you as a reference, and mm-hmm. he is the only one that you interviewed. Mm-hmm. I don't think any other candidate listed you individually as a reference. I'm just making a statement.
Okay. Councilman. Councilor, just a reminder, get closer to the mic.
Are all the mics working, or can you hear the mics at all?
Susan? You might need to get closer.
One moment.
We were having some feedback. Let us test the levels. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Better.
Is that any better?
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll have to be very close tonight for whatever reason.
I think I'll make a comment, if you don't mind, on the conflict of interest. I can't anticipate any, but I think he would be like any of us, that we would need to accuse ourselves if there is an appearance of fairness problems. I know Mr. Kuhl. I'm completely confident that he would accuse himself. There are also checks and balances. Should you feel there is a conflict of interest with any commissioner, I might add, this body makes decisions after the Planning Commission makes its decisions. So I think there are plenty of checks and balances in that regard. Council, do you have any other questions? Commissioner Goldsmith.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. I'm Yvonne Goldsmith. I live at 5840 Church Road, and I do serve on the Ferndale Planning Commission.
That's why we turned it
down. Today I called because we had two applicants besides the young student that we selected, or got selected, and I don't know what happened because I wasn't at the last planning commission. But I do know that we had another applicant, and his name was Richard Emerson. And I called him today to see if he'd gotten an interview to maybe along with Mr. Kuhl, and he told me no, he'd never been contacted. And one thing he brought up to me, which I think is really important that we as a city do, when you have people that apply for positions, okay, and they don't get selected, I think it'd be really nice if we just send them a letter and say, hey, thank you for applying. We have made our decision. We're going to make this recommendation to the council on this night. But he knew nothing about it. He didn't know that there was even, you know, a replacement spot that he could have maybe stepped forward and come for an interview. And so I find this just a little, it's not good. And I would hope in the future that when we have people that apply and if they don't get selected, and then the person that did get selected, kind of like Miss Washington, okay, now we got the second runner-up is now Miss Washington. So let's say that person decides not to take the position. I think we should go back to the original applicants and say, okay, this is opened up again. Are you still interested? But I also think we need to send them a thank you letter and show appreciation for the fact that they wanted to get involved in their local government.
Thank you. Council, I await your pleasure. Councilmember Taylor.
I'd like to make a motion to move forward with the appointment of Sean Kuhl to the Planning Commission based on the recommendation of the mayor.
Is there a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the appointment of Sean Kuhl to the Planning Commission. Is there discussion by the City Council? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote on this, and I'll have our city clerk take a roll call vote.
Council members are... Yay. Councilmember Olson.
No.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Birch.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to get used to my random order.
I asked her to be really random.
Here.
She's very random.
Councilmember Watson.
No.
I believe that we have 5 yes and 2 no's. The no's are Olson and Watson. Does that sound correct, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
The ayes have it. The motion has passed, and Mr. Kuhl will serve on the Planning Commission to complete a 1-year term that's been left open by Councilmember Czar. Thank you very much, Council. We go on now to the next item, which I think a lot of you are waiting for. This is the discussion on health insurance coverage for the mayor. And I know a lot of you would like to share about that. Let me tell you how this is going to proceed, much like a public hearing. First of all, I want to thank the City Council for even looking at this. I know that some of you probably didn't want to. To me, it wasn't so much about politics, but maybe good public policy, if not for this administration, maybe a future administration. But I appreciate the time. I appreciate the administration committee, for sending this forward for discussion. And I also appreciate the comments that are going to be shared tonight. I know that you have some strong feelings about that. Feel free to share them this evening. What we're going to do, we're going to have a staff report by our administrator, Greg Young. After that will be discussion and questions from the council about the issues at hand. And then we'll open up to those that would like to comment on it. And then we'll come back to council for their pleasure. So our city administrator, Greg Young, is going to share a staff report on this issue.
All right, evening, everyone. Hopefully I can stand far enough away not to make the microphone matter. Yes, in your packet, actually, I tried to put in some information that at least I was hearing some common questions amongst the council members following the presentation discussion at the committee meeting. We'll quickly kind of run through those just so so the audience can go ahead and hear some of these things. One was, you know, what health plans are currently being offered. We have both union-represented employees as well as non-represented employees, but one thing that is common amongst both groups is the insurance that's offered. We offer two different medical plans, Regis and Group Health, and predominantly one dental plan and one vision plan. Even though it varies slightly amongst bargaining units, all of the employees are normally expected to pay a portion of their monthly premiums. And for some contracts, some union contracts, it's a percentage of the premiums. Other union contracts, it calls out a fixed dollar amount. For the non-represented group, and that's the information that unfortunately wasn't in your packet, but I believe was sent out subsequent there, there was an attachment A, which lists the two medical plans as well as the dental and vision. For the non-represented, the premium that the employees are asked to pay accelerates or is bigger the more coverage they have. So if an employee is just looking for coverage for himself or herself, there's like an $85 monthly payment. And if you include spouse and you start including children, it ramps upwards to the point where, and this is common across all of our union contracts as well as non-represented, after the second child, the premiums don't increase. So you could have yourself, your spouse, and two children, or you could have yourself, your spouse, and 22 children. It doesn't matter. The premiums stop at the second, after the second child. So that full family rate, that two-plus children, so to speak, that's $105 according to the non-represented. So that's what the non-reps pay on a monthly basis toward their premiums. I should say there is no premium share for any of the represented or non-represented for dental or vision. But it's those costs are usually, actually they are remarkably less than the medical coverage. The medical coverage is certainly the most expensive. I put in the packet the amount of premiums for a full family. The premium for medical is about $1,585, and the for dental and vision is $230. And again, there'd be a $105 monthly payment by the employee. Another question that came was, how many hours per month do you need to qualify? If you remember back earlier, we hired a part-time code enforcement officer. We've since brought that up to full-time. The cutoff for benefits is 80 hours a month, or about 20 hours per week. We don't have many. Mostly our summer help. But if we do hire someone on a part-time basis that's 20 or less hours a week, then they do not. They don't get retirement. They don't get medical coverage. Once you go over that 80 hours a month or about 20 hours a week, then the full medical coverage kicks in. So that's just the cutoff point between a benefited position and a non-benefited position is the 20 hours a week. I put in here the question was, what do other cities provide? And it's really all over the place. And I tried to do some comparison between, I believe we came, I think there was a list of about five or six cities that do provide coverage for either the mayor and or council members, and some of them just do the mayor, some of them do full. And then four or five or six cities that do not provide that coverage. So I tried to break out on population and sales tax revenue and assessed valuation to try to see if there was some sort of a logical comparison between what might be considered richer cities or poorer cities or bigger cities and smaller cities. And while you would expect that a large city like Bellingham and Everett and Seattle, certainly, not only do they provide medical and dental coverage for the mayor and council, but those positions are full-time, certainly living wage jobs. So if there's really no set way that I was able to see is when it comes to how much money per capita a city brings in through sales tax or property tax, to see a bright line where some cities do, some cities don't. It appears, and this is just kind of going back on my history working for different cities, some of which actually provided health care coverage, it got to be more of a policy decision, and that is the pool of citizens that would run for office. They first of all need to be very altruistic. They need to want to give back to their community, and that is not everyone in the city. But in some cities, they provide basic coverage for medical, dental, and vision, so that way someone who needs that sort of coverage is not dissuaded or it is not an impediment for running for office. So on a broad policy perspective, providing medical and dental coverage to the mayor and or council could be seen as a way to expand the number of folks that would consider running for city council. But that, again, is a policy for all of you to consider. Some cities are considered important. Some have relied on the volunteer efforts, and they feel like it's not appropriate. So that is totally a policy decision for you to weigh in on. As far as the mayor's salary, I've been here about 12 years, and the salary has gone up from when Mayor Lancaster was here. During Mayor Jensen, it went up, and then it was slated to go down when the new mayor was elected. So we've gone up, we've gone down. Again, some cities pay more than others for mayor. It's really, there's no standard or what you might consider to be the common amount. Sometimes, if you remember, we used to get paid by the meeting and a flat amount. So it really, it's up to you how to do this. That's really the as far as a background as far as how it would work. The medical and dental and vision coverage would be offered to perhaps the mayor. We could actually offer it to the entire city council. But again, that's something for you all to opine on now and or into the future. Any questions? Any other thoughts on...
How does this tie into pay? Because I know, like, if we were to raise council salary, per se, we don't get the benefit of that. It's after the next election, then those people get the benefit of it. It's just like when Mayor Mutchler was a council member, he proposed lowering the mayor's pay. Well, Gary's didn't get lowered until after the election. How does this... because this is really increasing the pay...
Just a point, just real quick. I suggest lowering the mayor's pay. I think that was Councilmember Olson.
August of 2000. Okay. Yeah, I'll stand for it. But how is this different than changing the pay of somebody, which would therefore take effect after the next election?
The key is who makes the decision, and in this case, increasing pay is a council decision. So state law states that you, the council, cannot raise your own salary during your own term. So if we were to say that council members are going to be getting paid $80,000 a year, it would not take effect until one of you were to come off the council and either get reelected or someone else would take the position. So that's one of those, you can make the decision now, but it doesn't take effect until next time. So that's for the council, because it's the council that makes that decision. For the mayor doesn't choose his own salary. So you are able to increase the pay to a mayor during his term because you're making the decision and he's not in that loop. With that said, not that it matters at all, but you cannot lower your salaries or the mayor's salary during their term for obvious reasons. But the key here is who the decision makers are. The decision makers can't raise their own salary, but they are free to raise other staff or...
Now, wouldn't that go against, though, then offering medical insurance to council members? Because wouldn't that be kind of like giving ourselves a raise?
The common thought is that AWC offers it to council members. In fact, just recently there was a change in state law where council members, and for that matter of the mayor, could actually go on to the state retirement system. It would require a contribution from the employee as well as the employer. But I've heard of situations where medical and dental coverage is offered to council members. Some of them take advantage of it, some of them don't.
Minister Young mentioned something I want to, just because it gets a little fuzzy here, is that the last council, I don't think anybody was here, the council when Mayor Jensen was elected, except for Councilmember Olson, 6 weeks into his term, they did make an adjustment, a raise of his salary, well-deserved, I think, but it has been done before. And then, as was mentioned, vote was taken by council to lower the salary back to what it was about a year ago. Councilmember Olson.
Let's clear that up even a little bit more. Mr. Jensen left a full-time business that he owned at a substantial loss of income to him to clean up a city that was devastated by the previous mayor prior to him. He did an excellent job, in my opinion. Maybe there's others that will have different ones, but that's why we upped that salary. When we lowered the salary, that's kind of a misnomer. Aren't we all at 90% of Seattle or whatever?
Well, there... Over the years, we've strived, and this is kind of across the board when it comes to the union groups, we've strived, and this is something that is not set in any code, but we've attempted to try to benchmark all of the city employee positions at least 90% of the AWC. AWC is the Association of Washington Cities. They poll all the cities in the state every year, and they put out a salary survey. So if you're a county sheriff, or if you work as a water sewer billing clerk, you can look up that position in this book and find out what similar size cities pay. So there's a bracket of population that we fall into. And so we have attempted over the years to try to get all of our salaries at 90% of that average of all the similar size cities.
So I think we took the long way around the barn, but the answer is yes. We're at 90% for the council and the mayor.
Yes. When the salary was adjusted,
everybody is at the same rate, 90%, correct?
That is true for the mayor, but not council. Council never made that decision. Council's not at that formula.
Yeah. When the mayor's salary back last fall or whenever it was, when the mayor's salary was adjusted downward, the math that was used was 90% of the AWC average for mayors in our bracket. And so that's how we came up with the pay for the mayor for this year.
But it was not applied to the city council at that time. It could be, but it wasn't.
I don't recall it like that, but nonetheless.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth, like from per meeting to a flat amount.
Right.
I haven't done the math, but I think what we're paying the city council, you could find cities that pay probably more and probably some that pay less.
Other questions, Mr. Again? Councilmember Watson?
I have a question for you. I can wait for Mr. Young to start.
Let's finish with Mr. Young.
Let me see if I understand this correctly again. So looking at adding up the two amounts here, assuming medical, dental, family, and everything, we're talking over a cost to the city of over $20,000. Am I correct in that?
Doing the math quickly,
approximately.
About $1,900 a month. So about $20,000.
Yeah. And then how much of that would the mayor be contributing toward that?
He would be paying $105 a month, so we're talking, $1,100?
I would jump on that myself because I know my medical insurance went from $180 a month to $460 a month under Obamacare for the same exact coverage. So if I could get a medical insurance for $150 a month or whatever, I would jump at that too. So I could see the reasoning behind it. Now, whether my question then kind of falls into Mark. Where do we have the money to pay that $27,000? Or how do we have to do with that?
Well, as you know, that's not in the 2016 budget. Obviously, it's not in there. But having just finished 1 month of 2016, just finished January, there's one item that kind of sticks out, and that is we pay once a year for our annual fire and casualty insurance, liability insurance, automobile insurance, inland marine, the one big bill we pay every year. That came in $28,000 below budget. So there's one adjustment I need to make. It came in $28,000 under budget for various reasons, probably including good accurate reporting of our assets and our payroll dollars, moderate claims last year. So that was a nice, pleasant surprise. That'd be one source.
Any more questions of Administrator Young? Thank you, Mr. Young. Councilman Watson.
So do you now have health insurance? And
Yes, I do. I do have health insurance through the Washington Health Finder, the exchange.
So why suddenly do you want the city to pay for your health insurance? Because this would be effectively doubling your salary. I mean, you have health insurance now, so why should we pay?
Well, I don't know if people generally consider it salary, but I understand what your argument is. This would be a much better insurance for my family in a number of ways. That's all.
I doubt that it's better, but why should the city, why should the taxpayers pay for it?
They don't have to. This is up to you. This is just a request for you to consider it as a policy and to perhaps implement that policy here. You certainly don't have to. That's the point of tonight. I personally think it's a good idea, but it's entirely up to you. That's the beautiful thing.
I personally think it's a bad idea, and I hope council does not do this.
Okay. Councilmember Taylor.
When my understanding is the mayor position is a part-time position, and when I consider part-time, I consider it 20 hours or less per week. According to Greg Young here, he says that 80 hours per month is the cutoff for benefits. You claim that you work 32 hours a week on average. As the city of Ferndale is growing and there's more responsibilities, how do we justify the difference between that part-time and what you claim to be doing to be able to justify allowing possibly this insurance to move forward? Because if it is a part-time position, I don't think we should be paying the insurance, but if there's more job responsibilities required where you're having to put in 32 hours a week, then I think that it should be considered. So how can we justify
that? I think that's a great question, Councilmember. I'm not sure where the doctrine developed that it was 20 hours or less. I've read nothing in the state RCWs or AWC or our own bylaws that say that the mayor is a part-time job. It doesn't describe it that way that I've found it. Now, some people treat it that way. The last mayor was sitting in this room, sat in that chair, and said that he spends 45 hours a week. He also said in that same meeting that the previous mayor spent more time than him. No, I don't spend 45 hours a week. It's more 30, 35 hours a week. I'm uncertain how it could be done for less than 20. So it's not a... If 39 hours a week is part-time, maybe this is part-time, but it's not 20 hours a week. So I hope that helps out. Councilmember Birch.
I think the timing of all of this is just wrong. You're just getting on board in January and asking for this type of benefit. And we do have a city administrator that handles a large portion of the city business. And I think we should revisit this at the end of the year when we're discussing budgets and salaries and so forth.
Thank you, Council Member. Councilmember Taylor.
I've talked to another government representative who had to deal with something very similar, and they created like an ad hoc committee from people in the community to help review this situation. Is it possible that we could set up an ad hoc committee of people in the community to review the
situation? I'm going to have our communications officer, Mr. Riley, you were going to research that. There is such a thing as a citizen committee that's in charge of all salaries of elected officials. You might remember the voters in the Whatcom County voted that for the Whatcom County Council. So the Whatcom County Council does not decide on the executive salaries or the council member salaries. It's done by the Citizens Commission. Same thing can be done with every code city in the state. We don't do that. But I believe it's something that goes to the voters. Council would say, we'd like to go that direction. The voters could decide to remove that responsibility from the council. So the thinking there is it removes it as a political issue, and the citizens would decide. Raleigh, I don't know if you had a chance. I just laid that on you, I think, today.
Yes, we can do that.
We can do that.
That is something if the council wants to do, we can set up. There's a process.
So I make a motion to move forward with developing a committee.
So to pursue that angle. So the motion is to pursue the citizen committee to deal with all these issues of council and mayor salaries. Is there a second to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is died. Thank you, council member. Are you done with questions? You ready to hear from the public?
Sure.
I bet you are. Folks, we know you have a lot to share, and we love to hear it. The mayor loves to hear it. I really do. So come up and give us your name and your address. We do ask for deference and respect here. We'll treat you that way. We trust you'll treat us that way, but we do want to hear you. So come up one at a time. It'd be good maybe just to, come on up and share your thoughts. Name and address.
My name is Lamar McKay. I'm 5781 Ocean Road, Everson. I am a property owner here in Ferndale. I think that you have to, first say good evening to everybody. I've been very active in Ferndale about 5 to 10 years ago. Had a clean up Ferndale for about 5 years ahead of that, for about 4 or 5 years. Also, I was one of the people that started the farmer's market. Did a lot of other things. Treasurer of the Ferndale Downtown Association for about 5 years, so I'm very involved. I have been very involved with the city of Ferndale. I've been to a lot of meetings with Gary and Lancaster in the past years. Let's talk about a mayor. What does he do? Well, wait, I think he works 6 to 6. There's meetings, there's blue ribbon cutting. He's constantly working. That's 6 to 6. Wait, there are night things too. So you got to be available at night too. So you say you're a part-time position. Well, if you ever had to work another part-time job, you just have to work around the mayor. So because the mayor has to be some places in the morning, some places in the afternoon, sometimes at night. He's constantly working different hours. It's hard to say part-time. Because usually you work part-time, you work like 6 in the morning to 8 in the morning to 12 at noon, but no, that doesn't qualify the mayor because the mayor has to work morning, the afternoon, and evening, depends on what it is. That is a hard position. I'm saying the mayor works a lot of different hours. He might be 32 hours, but every week it's going to be a different 32 hours, 35 hours, whatever it is. And sometimes it's going to be more hours because different things will be coming about. I think the mayor should, in my opinion, deserves whatever he can get, deserves a health plan, deserves consideration. I think they're underpaid and they work a lot of hours. I know the past mayors have done a lot of hours, worked a lot of meetings, have a lot of problems. We expect the mayor to be educated, well-versed in a lot of different areas, to discuss contracts, discuss planning, discuss meetings, discuss different topics. And yet, we want to pay him as little as possible. I think we should be appreciative of the men that we've had for mayor and be thankful that we've got a quality man that we've got now and a quality person, past president, past mayors. We're lucky to have those people, and I don't think they're asking too much. So, thank you for listening.
Quick question.
Pardon me?
Would you be willing to have us raise your property taxes to pay for this?
Yes, I would. For this, yes, I would. and I have quite a bit of property here in Ferndale, yonder. You know, you can always have exceptions. I can always talk about who we've got now and who we've had. I can always say that. But so far, we've been very fortunate to have really quality mayors and people that are dedicated, put in extra hours constantly. You know, you can always have exceptions and say, what if we have somebody that's not this, doesn't do those hours? Well, you can only address that when the time occurs. But right now, I go by what we have and what we have had. We've been fortunate to have quality people that put in above and beyond the call of duty. That's all we can say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I say thank you for being there.
Welcome.
Hi. Ida. Good evening. My name is Ida Cox. I live at 5650 Corral Court here in Ferndale. I have some reservations about this, and they go like this. We just, in the public comment period, heard from two people who were really upset because things in their neighborhood have not been addressed by the city. Because we hear a constant complaint about Ferndale, we ain't got no money. Well, I think that's probably true. And I don't know where we got this windfall, unexpected. Maybe next year the premium goes back up again. But meanwhile, the people that have these situations in their neighborhoods that are dangerous to children and to them and to their property cannot be addressed because there is no money for it. So when you all ran for these jobs, all of you, you all knew what the deal was. It was a part-time job. You got paid part-time wages. You did not get any health benefits. You all understood that when you took on the job. And in a city like this, it's very important for people not to change their horse in midstream because we don't have the money to pay these things. If we do that, then I think you're going to have a population that is really angry about why this pothole can't get fixed, why this corner can't be fixed, why a sidewalk can't be put down so the children are safe. I think you have to really strongly consider that. Because I think you're going to hear from people if you do this. I myself am retired, and so I'm living on a fixed income, which 18 years ago I was saving money on it, and now my bank account is slowly drifting downwards because prices have just gone up and up and up. And a fixed income is just that, it's fixed. Once again, Social Security didn't give us a raise either, so there you go. But I think I've said everything I need to say, except that it's just difficult for people in my position to see the city spend money we don't have that wasn't part of the deal when you took the job. I do think it's a good thing for you to talk about, but not to do take any action on it. And I wouldn't vote for it anyway because I can't hardly sometimes stand to look at the utility bill I get from the city, which for one person living with two little dogs, I mean little guys, is $90-some a month for one person in a household. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cox. Glad to see you back in the chamber.
Council. I'm Yvonne Goldsmith. I live at 5840 Church Road, and I have submitted a letter to each one of you today. And the one thing that I really want to ask about this, number one, our mayor is covered. He has a health plan. And it's known in the community that you work for the city or the county or whatever, it's a pretty Cadillac-type plan. And John wants to move up from the Ford to the Cadillac. At our expense. And I just don't think that's fair. One thing I'd really like you to consider tonight, and I heard Greg say this several times, they're looking at the population. It's got to be more than just the population. You got to take a look at your tax base. How are you going to pay this? And not just the
population. We've got a huge business going out on us. Now I hear in a news report yesterday, I think it's Larry McCarter, is looking at taking some of our trash over to Linden. And he just paid for three new employees with an increase in the county trash monies, collections. So if he's going to divide that out and take half of it over to Linden, then where are we going to get make up that money there, too? And I realize that's down the road in the future. But there's so many things right now that are unknown. And I just feel that it's wrong to put this on the back of taxpayers to pay for health insurance for our mayor. Every time I get health insurance, and I pay a lot because I have multiple sclerosis, and so I don't go and ask people to do a fund me or anything. I pay for it because it's for me. And I would expect the same for our mayor, to pay for it because it's for him, and not just $105.
Thank you, Mrs. Goldberg. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Hi. Gary Bannerman, 6810 Portalay, Ferndale. Pretty much a lifetime resident of Ferndale. What concerns me are, first of all, I'd like you to, I'm opposed to benefits for the mayor. And one of the things that sticks in my mind is during the campaign in the fall, there was two really good candidates, and I know there was a lot of questions about the amount of time that you could commit to this job, and it was about your other two activities that you'd fulfill, and your message to the public was you could fit it in. So the amount of hours you work, to me, is I'm not concerned about, because you knew that going in. You've sat on the council for a number of years. You're very familiar with the hours for this job.
You're right.
So I think you knew what you were getting into, and I agree with Mr. Gerich. I think maybe at the end of the year, or first I brought it up, that you maybe can consider looking at it at the end of the year. But for now, the timing doesn't right to reward you with a benefit like this. So that's what I thought.
Thank you, Mr. Bannerman.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Stacy Malone Miller, 5870 Malloy Avenue, Ferndale. I'm on the Planning Commission and ran for City Council. So very interested in what's happening here tonight. And the biggest thing for me is that I've heard our mayor say repeatedly the last thing he wants to do is raise taxes. He doesn't want to burden our community with these taxes. I've heard you say that over and over again. And you've been in office for less than a month, and you're coming to us to say, please, in your taxes, give me health insurance. And my problem with that is that supposedly this is a part-time job, and I understand that it really isn't a part-time job. I'm well aware of that. The dedication that the council puts forth is more than a part-time job. However, we all knew that. You all knew that when you went into it, and that's what you all chose to do, right? And so coming forward and saying, now, I would like TAFR, I would like health insurance, I wonder then if it was put to a vote when you were a council member, and that's kind of the lens that I'm using, would you then vote to raise taxes to give the council health insurance? Would you then have voted to give the mayor at the time health insurance? And I think seeing how you voted to take money from the resource center, from the senior center, argued about giving money to domestic violence work here in the county, or in the city, my feeling is, and I could be wrong, is that you would vote no. And so in my opinion, at this time, I think that it's not right that we do this unless you're going to do it for all part-time city employees, which I can't imagine the city being able to take on that burden. So that's my opinion at this time. And it's hard because I think that everybody's entitled to good quality health insurance. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
When
Wendy Lawrence, 6225 Argyle Street. Full disclosure, I am married to Kathy. I know I promised I wouldn't say anything, but there's one aspect of this discussion.
I have no control over this one.
But there's one aspect of this that I do want to bring up because I do think it's my right as a taxpayer. I think when elected officials vote to give other elected officials benefits, you destroy the trust between you, the elected officials, and those of us who elected you. I'm all for you considering this. I do not think it should be just the one elected official, because how do you justify singling one from all of you? But I do not think it is your all's decision to make. It is our decision to make. So as you decide what you want to do, if you want to contemplate providing benefits to you all, because I know firsthand how hard you all work. I will not disagree with that. It is not necessarily a part-time job, but you campaigned on it, sir. You campaigned, you told people that you were going to view it as a part-time job so you could fit into your other responsibilities. That needs to be open for discussion, because none of you really work at this job part-time. The demands of the city are such that it needs to be a job that you can be flexible and respond as needed when you have particular issues that come up. I recognize that. But I think it is our decision to make. And as you contemplate this, I would ask you to let us decide as to whether or not you all get benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. City Council, what is your pleasure? Councilmember Goodrich.
I'd like to make a motion that we, I don't know what the proper term is, but...
Sorry, Councilmember. Come on up.
Come on up.
Sorry. That's okay.
Name for the record?
I'm Ben Homan, 5694 Eagle Parkway is where I live.
Welcome.
When you were running for mayor, campaigning, we're getting a driver, by the way. You came in, actually, and you talked to me because I just turned 18, well, about a year ago, and you asked me to vote for you. I asked you, a little off topic, what can you do to fix Washington Street? Because as for the past 3 years, I used to walk to school. I had to walk on the road in the rain, snow, ice, trucks driving by, semi-trucks. It's about good foot and a half, 2 feet maybe. I don't know, I'm not good with feet, but there's not a lot of room. I used to have to push my nephew, who's two now, to daycare on that same street. There's no room for us to walk at all. You asked me how I was going to raise the money for that. How are you going to raise the money for your health care? You have jobs, you know. You want to take that from the good people working.
Good questions. Thank you very much.
I'm Gene Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road, Ferndale. Been a resident for 27 years. You people are a little higher table. These people are a little lower table. These are employees. Employees have benefits. You are public servants. You chose to serve this community. It doesn't come with benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith.
My name is Grace Cisneros. I live at 5913 Vista Drive. I wrote a letter to you, and then I sent a letter. I don't know if it all got to the city council, but I think... what bothers me most is that I felt this was like a really sly, sneaky way to get in. It's sort of like this backdoor kind of guy. And if that is going to be your style as mayor, I think you should resign. I don't think that we need that kind of representation for mayor. So I would seriously think that you should consider resigning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Nero. Are there others? We promise not to have the mic squeak at you. Councilmember Goodrich, you were looking for a motion, and one of them might be to, it's called postpone indefinitely.
Well,
if that helps you out a little bit.
My motion is to deny the request for medical insurance at this time, and that if council would like to bring this up at budget time later in the year, then we could reattend it then, but for now, deny the request.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by Councilmember Goodrich, seconded by Councilmember Burge to deny the request for the health insurance. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Olson.
I really wished you hadn't thrown in that budget thing. But if this is the best we can come up with, I would have gone right along with it. Deny it indefinitely. But
it's still a council decision whether or not to bring it up?
Correct.
So,
yes, it'll be a council decision, and that's what your motion was, a council decision.
Oh.
This was not a council decision. This was brought to us. So we want to make sure that everybody understands that. So with that, I will support your motion.
Any more questions, any more comments from City Council? Seeing none, I'll take a voice vote. All in favor of the motion before you, which is to deny request, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion has passed 7-0, and the request is denied. Thank you very much, and thank you, public, for coming.
Thank you.
I want to. I really do appreciate you coming and sharing in democracy, and this will come back in some other form. And I think it's an important discussion to have, and it's nice that we can leave the real controversial stuff and go on to something more innocuous and innocent, like marijuana. So I'd like to invite Mr. Burnett to come up, and we move on to the next item. Thank you, citizens. Let's go ahead and take I know some may wish to leave. Maybe take a 30-second break in case you feel like you need to leave at this time. 30 seconds, and then our community development director will continue.
You're going to miss land use if you leave. I'm going to short break. Give him a shot for land use.
It may take longer than 30 seconds.
That's what's the score?
Bernie's holding strong at 47%.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But Ted Cruz is leading Donald Trump.
My goodness.
So, Bryce.
Yes.
When did they pick
I don't know what the timing is on it because it's been.
They'll have a mostly final by 9, 8.
And would you say Bernie's at
47? 47. Field burn.
What's
52.3 to 47.
Back to order. Folks, if you're going to visit, that's great, but maybe visit right outside. We're going to resume the meeting this evening. Community Development Director, Yuri Burnett, whenever you feel ready.
Good evening again, Council, Mr. Mayor. So as the mayor indicated, we do have another subject that I think a number of folks in the audience wish to comment on. There is a public hearing scheduled. As I mentioned earlier, the Planning Commission is an integral part of the city's process, and your Planning Commission has been looking at cannabis regulations for quite some time. And by way of background, since not everybody is familiar with it, in 2012, Washington State voters, by a majority, adopted Initiative 502, which legalized recreational marijuana. By a slight minority, that measure failed in the city of Ferndale. But Initiative 502 is the law of the land, and as a result of Initiative 502, one recreational marijuana retail store opened. We currently have one grow and processor, and we have another grow processor that is currently working to get up and running. Since about 2010, I believe, medicinal marijuana has been in a kind of state of flux, where Governor Gregoire signed a line item veto that in many ways nullified actions taken by the Washington State Legislature in the 1990s authorizing medicinal marijuana. recognizing that last year, 2015, Washington State adopted new regulations that would allow the commingling of recreational and medicinal marijuana, where the physical evidence of that would go into effect July 1st, 2016. What that essentially does, or what the state believes that it would do, is put both recreational and medicinal marijuana not under the same licensing scheme, but under the purview of the Liquor and Cannabis Board, the former Liquor Control Board, or LCB. They do follow slightly different processes. They follow, in some ways, very different procedures as far as the type of products that they can provide, the manner in which either customers or patients are looked at or screened as they go through the process, so on and so forth. As a result of the 2015 modifications, it was fairly clear that the state would expand the number of stores that could sell recreational and or medicinal marijuana. Until December 2015, we had no idea just how many of those stores there would be. Mid-December 2015, it came to pass that the Liquor and Cannabis Board said one additional retail store could be allowed in the city of Ferndale. So what we have before you, Ken, from a technical perspective, and certainly this is another subject that has a lot of emotions linked to it, a lot of philosophies attached to it, a lot of opinions, and I think that we can all agree that different facts can be distorted or twisted depending on what side you are. But I think it can be boiled down to four main elements to be answered by the council tonight. One, does the council wish to commingle recreational and medicinal marijuana in terms of the products that can be sold at these stores, whether there's one store or two? Two, will there be one store or two in Ferndale? Three, does the council wish to consolidate or modify the zones in which retail marijuana or retail stores could be located? And then four, which would be another separate issue that is on your agenda, should the moratorium that the council in December 2015, should that moratorium be lifted? So what the Planning Commission has recommended by 3-2 vote is that there be one additional store allowed, that the locations where the stores could be allowed would be reduced from the current four zones down to one zone, that zone being the general business zone. For folks that don't know the map behind Council Member Watson, I have a secret tool.
Shoot my eye out with a laser. Oh, there he goes.
There you go. All right. The general business zone.
I need health insurance.
All right. Since Council Member Watson is being difficult, we'll go behind Council Member Hansen, actually, which is right there.
Curmudgeon and draining.
The general business zone is located on the west side of Portal Way. It's located over behind Hovander Road. And then the next one, I won't point it out because I would blind someone, is generally on both the east and west sides of Interstate 5, south of Smith Road.
The mint color.
It's a lovely mint color.
Mint, yes.
Pepper green?
Cheap green. Yep.
Yes.
Cheap green.
The Planning Commission recommended that. I should note, as we note in the staff report, that the 3-2 recommendation, while I cannot state exactly why planning commissioners voted for or against, but some of the planning commissioners wish to discuss the fact that churches or religious institutions are not currently included as a place from which buffers, right now there's a 1,000-foot buffer from certain protected areas, why churches themselves were not counted as a buffer area. For the purpose of our discussion, within the city of Ferndale, the majority of the brick-and-mortar churches that we have are actually in the residential area of the city, west of the Nooksack River. If we were to attach a 1,000-foot buffer from all of our brick and mortar churches. Really, the only area that would have an effect would be at the intersection of Cost Road and Portal Way. Again, right about here, where it would take out only really a couple of acres from what we would be allowing anyway, as far as the proposal is concerned. I think the last thing I'll say before you ask technical questions of me is that the council can approve an additional store, or it can decide not to approve an additional store. You are well within your legal rights to do so. When we adopted our regulations in 2013, we followed the guidance of our insurance attorney as well as the city attorney, and we sought to reflect state law as closely as possible. We now understand that we can be more restrictive than state law. We can't be less restrictive than state law. But I would hope that before you proceed, our city attorney is here, and that you proceed in full accordance with the law.
Council, this is a public hearing. You know what that means. It means questions should be of a technical nature and informational type stuff, not this is how I'm going to vote kind of stuff. And the audience will get a chance to participate in the public hearing a little bit. So questions of Mr. Burnett. Mr. Olson.
Nora, you said that the state said we could have one additional store. I believe they've done away with the restrictions on the amounts of stores completely, correct?
No, my understanding is, and I'm quite sure that I'm correct, unless something has happened very, very recently, that the Liquor and Cannabis Board has identified their allocations for new stores, and that the city of Ferndale was allocated one additional.
The last, and I'm not saying you're right or I'm right, because I don't know who's right, because they change their minds quite often. The last thing I read is they were going to do away with limits completely. And I don't know if that happened or not.
I don't believe that is the case. Even if it were the case, what we have recommended in here is not to keep it open-ended, but mm-hmm. to say there can be up to X amount, one or two within the city of Ferndale. And that way, if there are future changes, we cap it.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Goodrich, please.
Back when all this started, and I don't know if it's changed, how it's changed, or whether we were told that we could not ban these type of things, it was against the law, but yet Everson has, Linden is considering it. And then also, I just heard over the weekend how Nebraska and Oklahoma are suing Colorado because of the violation of this federal law of trafficking stuff from marijuana from Colorado into Nebraska and Oklahoma, and that's a violation of federal law. How do we address these things, you know, today? It seems like, you know, this is constantly changing. We're told we can't do something, but yet other cities are doing it. Could be a suit brought, you know, at least in Colorado. I don't know how that would affect us here in Washington, that, you know, depending on the outcome of that, where it goes on a federal basis. I'm just thoroughly confused. Hopefully, maybe you can help answer some of this, what we were told and what now things, and why we should go ahead with this and not just wait and, you know, and wait for some more of this dust to settle.
Well, ultimately, the final decision rests with you. As far as what we knew to be true a couple of years ago versus now, unfortunately or fortunately, legal decisions are relatively fluid and have evolved. We are now confident that, and in fact, I believe there was an attorney general determination a couple of years ago saying that, yes, in fact, cities can be more restrictive up to the point of prohibiting or banning marijuana, whether it's recreational or medicinal. As far as the federal circumstances are concerned, we do have, and this was recommended by our attorneys, some clauses that say if these regulations that Washington State and Colorado and I believe Washington, D.C. are trying out are determined to be rendered invalid, then these automatically go away as well. So that the city would not be at the point of the spear if there was a legal suit.
I've tried to find language to describe all this, having walked this with all you guys. And I think at one time as a council, we felt like we must, and now we're more of a posture that we may. And so it's a little more flexibility. Other questions of Councilmember Watson?
I just want to understand with the general business area and the kind of buffers you have. Can a new marijuana store, would it just be in the Portaway area, or could it also be in the southern portion of the city? Because I think there was some confusion in committee as to whether the buffers would force any new marijuana store to also be on Portaway.
It's a good question. If you go to...
I'm looking at the map.
70 of your map, and I'll...
That's what I'm on.
Try not to blind folks. Page 70 of your map shows the locations... I'm just trying to scroll up to mine to be sure. Shows the locations where marijuana retailers could be located with all of the buffers removed. So on your map, it has a blue area, or mint green, I'm sorry, area.
Fresh mint.
Fresh mint. Showing
green
where, if that property were available, these businesses could go. And so there's a fairly substantial area over in this area, which is close to Pacific Industrial Park, Barron Heating. Again, it's a private property owner's determination whether or not they would wish to allow such a thing or not. There's also an area in the vicinity. Again, remember, this is a comprehensive plan map in the vicinity of Smith Road, quite a distance away from the residential area because there is that buffer there. And then, of course, you do have the area on that west side of the portal. And lastly, and this was a new addition because of a rezone last year, you do have a portion just north of Grandview Road on the east side of Interstate 5.
Okay. So if there was a second store, it wouldn't necessarily be forced to be on Portaway.
That is correct.
It would be a landowner decision, but it wouldn't be forced to be on Portaway.
That is correct. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Other questions? Council Member Olson.
I brought this up at committee on page 55, C.
I think that my C might be different from yours, sir.
Mine is under the chapter 18.67. Regulations for sitting of recreational and medicinal marijuana uses.
What's the subsection?
1867-010.
Okay.
Conflict effect. Okay. Yes. 54.
You see, have you got that section? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now... I'm not an authority on Title 21, having done it for 25 years. I'm just not sure as to what Section 800 is anymore. But this part says, no part of this chapter is intended or to or shall be deemed to conflict with federal law. This whole thing conflicts with federal law.
I don't think runs. Oh, I see where you use on page.
Top of 55.
Top of 55. Gotcha.
Correct.
Well, it's not intended to. It does.
Maybe our city attorney, who came all the way from Bellingham to visit us tonight, would like to
it's a little
earn her paycheck tonight. And you're always saying, yes, please. Okay.
I was trying to figure out an out.
Yeah.
It's Anna Foster, city attorney. Nice to see new faces.
Welcome back.
I haven't met. So the question is how this does not conflict with federal law?
Correct.
I think Councilmember Watson is right. It's not intended to conflict with federal law. And we do have an AG opinion that this is not, that federal law is not going to be enforced in states that legalize marijuana. And that's what we're riding on.
That's a policy decision of this current president. The law is still there, I can assure you of that. So, and I'm not arguing with you. This is obviously, I don't know why we would put that in there when the whole thing does. Regardless of whether it's the intent or not, This says it doesn't. It does. So I don't...
I think it makes sense what you're saying. I think we
right.
can take
I,
that
I
part out if we needed to. But the reason why we have the kill switch in here, mm-hmm. our next president decides they do want to enforce mm-hmm. federal law as it reads, then this goes away immediately so that we're not subject to any sort of...
No, and I appreciate that being in there. I just don't like this particular statement being in there when it's not true.
Yeah.
So, just on a technical matter, we'll address that later after we've had the public comment.
And President Clinton's not going to change anything, sweetie.
We'll find out.
53%.
Just going to have to.
While our city attorney is up, any other questions of Ms. Paxler?
Thank you.
Can I get back to what Councilmember
absolutely.
Was asking
yes,
earlier
absolutely.
About? This has been very fluid since the very beginning. And when Yori and I first got up in front of you and talked about this, we really, there were a lot of unknowns. And there's still a lot of unknowns. We really don't know how this is all going to play out. And we didn't have these court decisions saying, yes, you can ban it. And we still don't have a Washington Supreme Court decision saying, yes, you can ban it. So those lower court cases could go up to the Supreme Court, and they could say, no, we didn't intend for there to be an opt-out in the legislation, and you have to treat these businesses just like any other, as long as they get their license from the Liquor and Cannabis Board. So we don't know how that's going to happen, but we do have more support. Back then, we had the AG opinion, but it's an opinion, and it has no presidential value whatsoever, so it can be overturned by the courts.
We don't hold you in. You're responsible for this. Maybe even more so.
Right.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond to that. And that's why you were advised one way, and things have changed a little bit. And I think that the prior city council passed this predominantly because you were told there was only going to be one retail store. And that has changed. And the Liquor and Cannabis Board told us that wasn't going to change. So mm-hmm. you're right in that we don't know what they're going to do next. So... You should consider that in your deliberation.
Thank you, City Attorney Traxler. Questions? Councilmember Goodrich.
Well, that kind of goes back to when I asked a little while earlier, why do we even need to do this now? I mean, why, if things are still fluid, things are still unknown and stuff, why do we even need to address this and just can't leave things the way they are currently?
We do need to respond to the changes in federal law related to medicinal marijuana, so that because we have marijuana regulations in our code, we do need to address that issue and make them consistent. So I think that's one of the things staff is trying to do
before the law,
to make it consistent with state law.
So in theory, then we could adopt these changes but keep the moratorium, which is the next item up. Whereas it seems like there's a either nay on both or yay on both, or I'm, you could, how these two work together.
You could, in theory, say yay and nay. What we need is, or nay and yay, we need a decision from council to lift the moratorium. You could say no commingling of recreational and medicinal, no additional store, no changing to zones, and then lift the moratorium because you've made your statement. You could say yes to all of them, and you've made your statement, there goes the moratorium. You could say commingle recreational and medicinal, no new stores, and lift the moratorium because you've made your decision. If, however, you feel that there's additional information that you require to make your decision, then the mayor could extend the public hearing, and we would continue with that moratorium until you've made that final decision. And we will help you to say, you've now given us enough information to say you've now made your final decision.
I agree with that.
Council, I have one other guest I'm going to invite up. There isn't anything more important to this council, stated time and time again, it's safety, public safety. You all have the same story as I have of young people that have problems with this issue. Accidents that occur because of this issue. So we've had a little time to see how this has worked itself out. So I've asked our chief of police if he can come up and kind of share a perspective from a law enforcement public safety perspective, his own views on this, and if you have questions of him, it's always nice to hear from the chief anyway. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, counsel. One probably has already guessed my position on marijuana. To recite history, I-692, 1998, recognized the medical benefits but gave no rights to use or possess marijuana. And then in 2011, SB 5073 was a bill that recognized the medical rights and use and benefits of marijuana, but Gregoire vetoed a majority of it, and it ended up to be a mishmash of disconnected provisions. It did recognize that there were benefits, but it didn't allow a person to legally buy marijuana. You could use it, you simply couldn't legally get it anywhere, unless you were part of a collective. That's when dispensaries started to pop up. That's when the Ogden memo from the Department of Justice came out. That's when the federal government reminded people it was a violation of federal law, but that there were medical benefits and that they would not interfere with the use in cases of serious illness. I-502 in 2012 addressed for the first time recreational marijuana in Washington. They created a three-tier system of growers and processors and retailers and taxation, and they allowed a 21-year-old to have an ounce of usable marijuana legally in his possession, along with 16 ounces of infused product, 72 ounces of liquid. Then in 2015, SB 5052, medical marijuana, came before the legislature. It was heavily lobbied. One legislator said it was the most heavily lobbied bill he had seen, by the Washington Cannabis Business Association, who wanted the exclusive right to sell marijuana in this state from their stores. It was reconciled in committee to allow for no longer collectives, but now cooperatives, to grow marijuana for use for medical purposes. No more than four people, 15 plants each, 60 total. There's been a growing consensus about the medical benefits of marijuana. What we do know, it is a psychoactive, mind-altering drug. That is recognized by the medical community. It affects your perception of reality, and your perception of vision, particularly your depth perception. And what we do know, and it is established, it is a gateway drug to other drugs. Throughout this discussion about medical and recreational marijuana has been the underlying promise that legalization would be heavily regulated, particularly so that young people, people not entitled to use, should not use marijuana, would not have access to this drug. Today, law enforcement is without any tools to determine whether a person uses or misuses marijuana. It's not like alcohol. The science in alcohol tells us the rate of metabolism, and we can calculate it backwards, so that if we give a DUI driver a breathalyzer, we can tell what his level was when he was driving 2 or 3 hours ago. Such is not the case with marijuana. The science is not there. They're working on it right now. Today, we get a search warrant to have your blood drawn. But the reality is that by the time we do that, your body has eliminated much of it. There was to be adequate education of our young people about the dangers of the use and misuse of marijuana. such has not been the case. What do we know? Well, the National Institute of Drug Abuse tells us that the use of marijuana has now dipped down into the third grade. Officers are increasingly, in this city and every other city, I suspect, confronting marijuana in homes where they visit on calls unrelated to drug use, but in which children are present. We know that students, young people, are exposed to marijuana regularly. And we know that students that regularly use marijuana do more poorly academically. And we know that students who use marijuana before the brain has fully developed will have lower IQs for the remainder of their life, permanently, unalterably, even if they stop marijuana use in adulthood. In the Ferndale High School in 2015, we arrested 19 students for use of marijuana or possession of paraphernalia. This year, in 1 month, we've arrested 16. It was the intention when marijuana laws were passed, the medical and the recreational, that not only would we educate our young people, but it would be a heavily regulated industry from seed to sale, as they said. The Liquor Control Board will tell you that they have accepted these new responsibilities without any additional funding. They have been given 4 additional officer positions. None are filled. The fact is they have done some compliance checks. They did one recently statewide. They found that at least 15% of those who purchased marijuana from the stores were minors. Today's marijuana is not your father's or grandfather's marijuana. It is a highly potent marijuana that is cultivated particularly to increase the tetrahydrocannabinol content. And state law only establishes a minimum level to distinguish hemp from cannabis. But there are no maximum levels. The moratorium gives an opportunity, if you are undecided, to wait and see, like the Supreme Court, wait till a matter is ripe before it is decided, when all the facts are in, and the facts are not in, as we've heard from the city attorney and others. There were university studies to be done. That was funded by I-502. Those studies have not been done. They're not complete. We do not know the long-term, short-term effects of marijuana, other than we know that for young people, it will inalterably affect your IQ permanently. We should find out whether there are going to be limits on the strength of marijuana, like other medicines. We have to develop field tests that give us accurate indicators of whether use or misuse is present. We have to have adequate staffing of the Liquor Cannabis Board to regulate this industry. They will tell you right now that as they start the investigation for these new stores, they are finding growing incidents of hidden ownership. We have to make sure that our young people are educated about the dangers of marijuana. It comes in forms of cookies and yummy bears. The young person doesn't understand. The legalization of marijuana has swept this country. It's outpaced the underlying science that tells us the benefits and the risks. We simply don't know them. And it's outstripped any staffing that's necessary to regulate it. The courts have, in fact, said the cities have a right to ban this. Everson has. Linden probably will. My position is simply that, to echo what I have heard already, we don't know the facts. Should we be increasing access of marijuana? Thank you.
Council members, any questions of Chief Now? This time we have a public hearing. And so what happens now is we'll read some very simple instructions about the public hearing. And some of you have already signed up to speak, I'm going to guess. If you haven't, you can still speak. So our city clerk, Susan Duncan, is going to basically read some rules of etiquette on public hearings. And this will be the only time it's read tonight.
A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Okay, we'll go to Mrs. Goldsmith. Is the first speaker? That happens sometimes, doesn't it? Mr. Lamont is next on the list. Welcome. Name and address for the record.
Yes, Jacob Lamont, 8241 Harborview Road, Blaine, Washington. I have no evergreen cannabis in Blaine, Washington. I'm also taking over the local joint off the Guide Meridian. I lobbied for medical marijuana. I was in the background helping get in 2011, helped with that bill 2010, and I'm very active. These are not facts. Statistics are just like anything else. You can sway them. Right now, currently, I have an updated email list. Every time new medical marijuana research comes out, and believe it or not, some of the best is coming out of all places of Texas. And they actually were told by the federal government to do research for them because there's a lot of background stuff going on. In fact, there was a bill just passed. If you have a medical endorsement from any state, you can now take your marijuana across state lines. And that was just passed. I'm very active in this. And it's not because I'm a heavy pot. And it's not because of any other reasons that I've played a hand in seeing people cured from incurable cancer. Now, as far as the children, that statistic's wrong. Colorado saw a drop in high school use of marijuana when they legalized. When an LCP agent understaffed? No, not at all. These guys treat marijuana like we're moving plutonium. In fact, true story, they took some of the movement of nuclear waste and had us do that. You cannot go off track. Not once. In fact, a friend of mine accidentally went off track, and he's still fighting it in court. It is so overregulated that I can't even sleep at night half of the time because I'm scared somebody's going to show up in my shop, and if there's one number off in my point-of-sale system, they're going to bust me. So these are not facts. I'm telling you I'm in the industry. I've been in the industry a year, I actually did not prefer 502 to pass. I tried to lobby against it because the tax on it alone makes it unsustainable. Now, the fact that they say that they want us to take it off the black market, it actually, I'll agree with one thing. The black market becomes a little bit easier. Now, you won't trace. My staff does not sell to miners except for once. I'll admit it. Once. I wasn't there. Overlooked an ID. She got in trouble. Real big trouble. Now, when a person sells to a miner, they take it very seriously. You can get a felony. And that's no laughing matter. It's worse than alcohol. The regulations on this is unbelievable, people. What I stand for is that I don't want, I just want you guys to hear the truth. I don't want any, blurring of lines. I want you to hear from us in the industry and how hard it is and how hard we work. Because believe me, it looks like we're making a lot of money, but you ask anybody, we're not. I mean, growers are struggling and dropping off like flies. Retails, because you believe in it. Because, okay, so to get to my point, the logical side of this, you will increase. I heard a lot of talk about money here in Ferndale.
15 seconds. I'll give you an extra 15.
And my mom lives here. And that's another reason I came here. It'll increase your guys' income. You will have money coming into the city. They pass a law that you get a percentage of that tax rate.
Mr. Lopman, thank you for coming down. Are you planning to participate in Ferndale business? Or just interested?
No, I'm helping with somebody that is interested.
Thank you for coming tonight.
I wanted to put my sense in.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. That's all the names on the list. If others would like to speak, just come to the podium and introduce your name and where you live and tell us what you want to tell us. Welcome, sir.
Hello, everybody. My name is Peter Grubb. I have 6061 Portal Way. I own the one store that's here in Ferndale. So I will address the two issues, I guess, both the moratorium and the zoning. The store I have is over on Portal Way, and from what I understand what Yuri was saying, pretty much you allow another store to either be over that way or it'd be down Smith Road Way. They just opened the store on Birch Bay and Linden Road, right there at the Shell Station. It's not Ferndale, but it's between your store and Blaine and our store. And they're going to open one on the other side of Slater Road there, Top Shelf. So there's the regulations, basically they double the amount of stores in Washington County to come to Ferndale if you guys want to. I'll state my position right off the get-go. I don't want another store. The store would be either be in my neighborhood, which Enterprise is Enterprise, the best store wins. And then the other one would be down there. I just don't think it would be a good location. So I don't want another store because I don't think the zoning is proper. With the moratorium or the other phase of this is another store is okay, I guess. I guess, like I said, the best store wins. But you get into the medical aspect, which is another thing. They have given priority to the stores that already exist. So we applied for the medical endorsement and we received it. It doesn't come into effect until July. And I've already talked to the Liquor Control Board about that, and basically they haven't determined what they all the ins and outs of it. We have talked to different people to manage that. We were looking at hiring a nurse that manages the work. She's a nurse and she's a manager of the work here. But we don't know what they're going to tell us to do. We need to build another building. We have to have a separate area for HIPAA rules and things like that, and what kind of training our staff has to have. So we are on board that they've given us the medical endorsement, but just like when we received the endorsement for the retail store, I want to say we worked well with Yuri. First we got the endorsement, and then we made sure it was going to be allowed here. And with that, we went forward. So now we have the medical endorsement, and to me, the ball's in your court. If you want it, we will do it in conjunction with what you guys want. If you don't want it, we'll stay with how we're doing it.
Thank you.
Okay, that's my 3 minutes.
Thank you very much.
To recap, I don't want another store, and we'll play with ball with you if we get the medical endorsement.
Anyone else? The mic is open. Mr. Bannerman, welcome back.
Yeah, Gary Bannerman, 6810 Port Away. I listened intently to the police chief speak, and I want to applaud him. I wish I could get a recording of that.
It will be available online tomorrow.
Thank you. There was some reference made to an expert and opinions and stuff, and I'm kind of put more emphasis on what the police chief says than what someone who's financially trying to gain from this industry. I'm opposed to any second store. I think one is enough. It mentions in your piece of paper that was online about fiscal, maybe we get some tax dollars. Well, until one store can't handle whatever business you get, why have another one? You can never go back. So I just assume prevent going forward. Why change the rules, get a second one, and then later regret that? I think those were good comments. I've seen in here also it talks about you can modify the proposal or the recommendation by the council, and I recommend that you modify it and do it like Mr. Goodrich said, wait and see. What I remember the 502 when we voted, Ferndale voted 52% of the people were actually opposed to it. The council or the commission voted 3-2. That tells me it's very tightly opposed and for. Let's don't rush into this. I think a lot of people here, and I don't want to speak for other people, but my folks are religious and belong to a church, and they are adamant about this comment here about excluding churches. And they're very upset, and I think you're going to alienate a lot of people just by saying we're not going to restrict it within 1,000 feet of a church. If it only affects one place on Port Away, why not add the comment? You're going to reduce the amount of people you upset with this recommendation or this resolution. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
Good. We have 6 extra seconds for you. Thank you for coming back up. Anyone else? Ms. Cox. We're always glad to see you.
My name is Diane Cox. I live at 5650 Corral Court here in Ferndale. And I am a marijuana user. And I have reasons why I do that. And I'll tell you what they are. I have trouble sleeping at night. So my doctor has prescribed some sleep medications, which I have to take in the strength to get me to go to sleep, that the next day I'm like I am drunk all day long, and I can't stand it. So I've tried several of these medications. They do not work. I've actually tried alcohol. I was in the habit of drinking a couple of glasses, small ones, not big, vodka at night, that would help me go to sleep. But the next morning I'd wake up and I didn't feel very good. So I decided to give marijuana a try. And what I found was that my throat's taking a beating, but I only smoke it in the evening at home. I will not drive a car or anything like that after I've smoked it. But I sleep very well. I get 8, 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep a night. And I wake up in the morning and I feel refreshed and my head is clear. And I don't have a hangover and I don't have this drug hangover either. So, and I'm saying this because I listen to all this dire stuff that people are talking about and I think that's just not true for me. And I'm telling you from my personal experience, okay? I'm not lobbying one way or another for another story. That's your decision. You guys decide what you want to do. But I think you have to get past the idea that this is some kind of demon drug. It isn't. In fact, alcohol is a lot worse for you than marijuana is. And kids are exposed to alcohol constantly throughout their life. This town is covered with bars and places to buy alcohol. I haven't heard a single word about anybody complaining about that. I'm not complaining about it. But I just want to point out that it's not an even weighing of the facts.
Nina, can I ask you a question? And, sure. And you and I have had friendly conversations mm-hmm. about this. If the council were to limit to one store or something like that, would that be a burden on people in Fernville that wanted to buy it?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I don't know anybody else that buys it. I've shocked all my neighbors by confessing that I smoke marijuana. Oh, my God. She's going to run down the street screaming or something. But I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I haven't purchased anything at this gentleman's store yet.
So you're able to get it.
So I, yeah. I mean, there are, it's, there's that place over by Hilltop Restaurant. I've gone over there. And I, next time I need to go, I'll probably go in to visit this gentleman, see what his store's like. But I think, you know, I don't see any crushing need for another store. But it's an economic decision on your part. Some kind of fiscal information needs to be brought forward about that. But I just don't want you to go around, you know, all this Reefer Madness is still going on. It's just BS. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mrs. Cox. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Come on up. Hi.
Hi. My name is Michelle Gallegos. I live over on Church Road. I'm new to the area. I want to say that the fact and all of that, people are going through a lot of effort to sway the community one way or the other, which is really needed for it. The fact is that I'm a medical marijuana user myself as well. I know a lot of people who are. It's nice to have a recreation store in here, but I'd rather much use the medicinal store. And I think that we could use one of those here, because I'm going to travel all the time outside of the city, up to Blaine. You know, that's just recreational up there, too. I would rather prefer a medical facility or both, where it's separated, where we can go into one, recreation can be in the other, or, you know, better to do that. But, you know, kids and all that, Reefer Madness, all that, it's immaterial. The fact is that we could use another store, and I personally would enjoy having one right here besides this young man's group. I just looked back and realized you weren't in your 20s. So, anyways, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm just here.
We are glad you're here. Come again.
Thank you.
Okay, Fred, you're back.
I'm back.
I'm glad you had a smile this time.
My name is Fred Rudolph. I live on Portaway. And what the chief had to say, I'd like to see that be played into all the schools in the area. I think it would be a wonderful thing. And what the chief has to say, I think he's probably going to have more police if you should increase the marijuana stores in the town. And I myself, I tried marijuana when I was going to college about 50, 60 years ago, and it didn't do anything for me. And I have PTSD right now, and I still don't use it, and I won't. At night, I just take a good belt of good Canadian whiskey, and that does
not that was coming.
And
go over to Nina's house and make you feel much better.
Make sure it's the good stuff. But I would say, and also I might mention that this store on Portal Way is beginning to have a little bit of a traffic problem because there's no left turn there, and especially during the quitting time in the evening. A lot of traffic on Portal Way, and there's going to be some serious problems there.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. I think I saw someone else coming up. Come on up.
My name is Jesse Thompson. I live on Portal Way, 5982 Portal Way. I'd like to preface by saying I'm personally appalled by the police chief's uneducated, and outdated comments. I feel like those comments were uneducated, outdated, and untrue. And I feel that we deserve leadership that leads their peers, polices their peers, not people who are afraid of the future.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
This is what's happening.
Mr. Mayor, we're not here to insult people. In the instructions were, state your point. He's the second one now that's gotten up and tried to disparage somebody else. If you want to say your point, say your point. Get your point across. You don't have to beat up other people. Point of view.
I feel like I deserve a chance to point out when someone stands up here in front of you all and says
that's
something
your opinion.
That, and says something that is totally wrong.
That
and false.
Is your opinion.
Please stop interrupting me. This is really not how you handle this sort of
thing. This is how you're needed to. This is how you need to act like you're going to say your opinion. Say it.
I'm trying to, sir. Please keep it to yourself. I'm trying to tell you how
you
I feel.
You don't tell
about
us what to do.
Let the speaker finish.
Okay, let me start out another way then. I'm a resident of Ferndale now for 17 years. I'm a cancer survivor. I choose to raise my kids here, and I chose to start a business here. I took 4 families off of welfare by starting a business here. Okay? Ferndale needs the synergistic effect of someone who not only understands the medical benefits of marijuana, but understands the horticultural side of it and use that knowledge to help people with their ailments. Thanks to cannabis, myself, and many, many patients in Ferndale are here to pay taxes to you guys. We're here to raise our kids. We're here to start businesses. We're here to work jobs. Now, not only cancer patients, but I've taken at least 20 who I can name people off of opioids and heroin in this city, in the city limits. This isn't a small thing. This is a big deal. People have been handed their lives back thanks to this God-given plan. God gave it to us, and it's wrong of man to try to take it away. It's wrong. So, Ferndale's sick deserve a safe place that is not only fully stocked with that knowledge, but is brimming with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm not just for a plant, but for the health of the citizens. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for cannabis. I would be dead, not here to raise my children. This is a serious thing to me. I want to help my community. I went to middle school and high school here. I know a lot of people who are sick here. And I want to change that. This community can stand up and be leaders. We can have the healthiest community. We can take the next step forward, and we can be fully educated.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to also ask the city please enact a 1,000-foot buffer for the churches as well. I understand that children go to churches. I was raised in the church, and I understand that people don't want their kids around it. Now, I don't want my kids around energy drinks and Bush Light, but they're around it all the time, and I don't have that choice.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
But I understand that churches want that.
Thank you.
So I would like you guys to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thompson. Welcome. Name for the record.
Vicka Thompson. I live at 5982 Portal Way, and I'm a previous owner of Ferntech Medical, the dispensary that was shut down because of the confusion, and a lot of people were hurt by that action. Ferndale told me, go through the 502 process, and we will give you a store. So I'm here before you. I'm going through the 502 process. I would like to ask that you lift the moratorium. I would like to ask that you protect churches with a 1,000-foot buffer. I would like for you to spread competition with a 2,000-foot buffer from other stores. I would like you to issue the license to a city resident. And I ask that you please, please, ensure that the next store offers medical marijuana and give weight to individuals who understand it, who care about it, and who have served this community in this capacity.
Thank you, Victor. Others, please. I am not seeing anybody come forward, so at a certain time that I can't see in the clock, I'm going to close the public hearing. 7:58 and change. And City Council, what is your pleasure? I am sort of glad I don't have to deal with this, except to say, how do you vote? Yeah, thank you. You got lots of things going on here, lots of moving parts. Councilman Goodrich.
Just to address the church issue, what it was explained to me, and I could be, I just want to make sure I get this right, that the idea behind not putting the church buffer in there was to keep churches from springing up all over the town. You know, if somebody didn't want a marijuana in an area, they open up a storefront church. marijuana doesn't get in there. Then they close the Crowfront Church because now it's going to move over here to keep it from going over there. Is that kind of the gist of why that wasn't included in this, or am I kind of off on that?
We don't think that anything like that is likely. Whenever you start trying to define what a church is and what a church isn't, it's kind of like that third rail for land use planning. But do we think that people are going to actually go out and protest and argue that there was a church? No, we don't think that.
And what was the reasoning for not including the churches in the original?
Because since it is that...
It's not the word church you're using. You're using religious institutions.
Exactly. Okay. That a religious institution or a church, it's not that we think that people are going to go and create new ones. It's that we don't know and really have no right to know where people practice their religion or identify it as a church. That someone might already exist. That might be within 1,000 feet. If we did base it on the brick-and-mortar church, the actual distance that would be, additional distance that would be created would be relatively minor as compared to simply not addressing that issue. Also, the fact that not all, but a fair number of churches also do have child care provided where there would then be a distance from those.
Since Councilmember Goodrich said that, I don't know a lot about many things, but I know a little bit about churches. And first of all, full disclosure, this would not impact my church any which way because we're in a residential zone. But every year I have to sign a piece of paper to the state of Washington that says that the property at the corner of Church and Thornton Road is a tax-exempt property, and it's used for religious purposes. So that's your brick and mortar. Others are concerned that I might gather a few people then at Maggie's Pub, which we used to do, and maybe read a few verses of the Bible and call that a church. Well, that's not what we're talking about. So I think that there is a method, because there is a piece of geography that's been designated by the state as a religious nonprofit institution. Should the council want to go that way, I think that they could.
Is there a legal definition that the state uses for religious institution that you would put in the definitions?
I don't know that there is. Generally, they say run away from that kind of concept because it is so fraught with peril. Generally, to protect the freedom of religion to practice in the way that you want, land use law typically says, why are you touching that unless you desperately need to?
Other questions? Councilmember
Kind of a logistics question. You're asking us three things. To change the zoning, to general business only, to allow commingling, and then one or two stores. Is that correct?
In medical?
The commingling of medical and
recreation. Yeah, that is correct. And there are a number of other issues that are circling around, too, that have also been discussed. Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out how best to make a motion to give people. I'm almost tempted to let this be a la carte, let people... We just go one by one and see how people do it, rather than trying to make a motion and then argue about amendments and friendly amendments and amendments to my amendments. How do you need us to do this?
I would defer to the city administrator.
Yeah, because there are permutations and combinations here that are probably mathematically pretty big, I think it would be most effective, and it would also simplify and focus the council's attention on each of these, if we can take them one at a time, and at the end we end up with the council's special.
Well, then I would like to make a motion to allow the commingling of recreational and medical marijuana.
Is there a second? It's been moved in second that the city of Ferndale would allow the commingling of recreational and medicinal use in any and all retail stores should they come about. And any discussion on that motion? Seeing none. Just a roll call vote again. I'm missing that move today.
Are you going to be a random number generator?
We sure are.
All right, I'll just sit here waiting for you.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one thing? Should this pass, we would anticipate that sections 030, 040, and 090 would also state and or medicinal in them. It's just a...
And I think that's what's implied by the motion.
It is. Just want to clarify that.
Just for housekeeping, because that's not what it is. Yeah, okay.
Councilmember Olson.
Would you let me know when we get to the 18.1.67 so that we can fix that about the deemed to conflict with federal law?
That might have to be a separate.
Yeah. We can take that up as a separate.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Are you ready for the question? City Clerk Duncan, roll call vote.
Pick a number between 1 and 7.
Yeah. She has a little bit of tricks.
Okay, Councilmember Henson.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Hirsch.
Yes.
Councilmember Czar.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
No.
Councilmember Watson.
Yes.
6-1. Oh, sorry,
Councilmember. Yeah, I was sorry. The results of the motion to commingle.
Can I vote?
He didn't vote.
I thought I heard. That's not going to count.
I'll go for it.
Okay.
Was it a no?
No.
Okay, so I believe it was 5-2. It passes 5-2 with Councilmembers Goodrich and Olson opposing, and if the council moves forward with the big ordinance, you'll have commingling of medical and medicinal. Next item that you'd like to talk about?
Okay. A general business, I guess. I'd move to allow tenant-only retail stores to only be in the general business zone.
That's staff recommendation.
That was staff recommendation.
Any second? It's been moved.
Did we skip number 2?
We're taking any order that they want.
I didn't really have any order. I apologize. Oh, okay.
We're kind of going as you see fit. Is that okay?
That's fine. Okay. You can jump in.
Can
you say that one more time?
Yes, I move to allow retail marijuana stores in Ferndale to only be in the general business zone.
It's been moved by Councilmember Watson and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to reduce the number of retail zones to just one. General business, is that what we said? The minty green.
Minty fresh color.
Are there any questions? Councilmember Olson.
Is that the portal way section only and not the down off of Slater Industrial?
It'll also be down there. It's the green that's
any green. Any that light green.
But not all of it, because there's some buffering.
Right, there's some.
And some distances from stuff.
Page 70.
I'm going to object to that one because I don't like to see them all dumped on the east side of Portal Way with Mr. I drew a blank. It's a rough night. Fred, I know you're in the first name.
Yes.
I'd like to see them all on his side in there. There's some getting more and more housing in there. There's some really expensive housing. There's some not so expensive housing, but be that as it may, it seems like we'd be lumping them all in one section. And if we limited it to one up there and one down there, I could live with that. But
any other? Thank you. Any
I
other
can't
comments?
Think of a way to make that a
motion. I don't know that that's what we're doing, is it?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're just saying any general business that within the buffers.
Correct. So there could be two up there, or there could be one further down.
Yes, they could.
Well, what the mayor especially likes about this vote is removing retail from what I've always called more family-centric parts of the city. You know, your Main Street, Dairy Queen, Woods Coffee, those types of areas. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the issue, but I think this is a reasonable compromise in a 50-50 city like ours. So any other discussions on the motion? It's been moved and seconded to reduce the number of retails to one. General business, light green. We'll just go quick. Well, I'm going to roll call again.
Is that what we're voting on?
We're just voting
on the zones.
Just the zone.
Just the zone.
What do I say?
Consolidating the zone.
It's one zone. It was.
He meant eliminating the other zones to just one zone.
It becomes just one. Okay.
So, Councilmember Watson moved and Councilmember Taylor seconded to allow retail stores only in the general business zone.
Correct.
I did that in that case.
Okay.
Yeah, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Watson.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
No.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Birch.
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Czar.
No.
I think I count 5-2. Is everybody?
5-2.
The council members Czar and Olson voting no. And And so the motion to allow retail only in the general business has passed 5-2. What else would you folks like to talk about? We're getting down the list pretty quickly.
It's now the one or two store decision.
Unless we want to discuss or make a motion to limit churches.
Oh, that is an option if someone wants to make that motion. If someone wants to try the religious third rail. Wouldn't that be separate?
Thank you,
I'm having enough trouble right now. I don't know.
I kind of thought we'd hear crickets on that one.
We're just trying to decide who's going to be the first coward to do. We're just doing short straws here.
They're talking about the church exemption.
Yeah.
Or not talking about it.
So, council.
Is that going to be a separate?
It'd be another separate motion.
If someone wants to make a motion, they could make a motion for the religious institutions.
So right now we're going to vote whether we want one or two stores. Is that
no, well, we could do that next. We have no motion in front of us. Councilmember Pinker.
Motion to expand the number of retail stores for one.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Birch to allow two stores in the city of Fernando Retail. Councilmember Watson.
Question for staff. Do you have anyone currently waiting to open a store in Ferndale? Has anyone expressed interest and turned in any paperwork?
We have a moratorium on turning in paperwork. But we have received phone calls from two parties, both of whom spoke tonight, on possibly opening.
Okay.
Discussion, questions? Councilmember Olson.
Big surprise. I won't vote for that either.
And the mayor will weigh in that he would prefer one, but that's all I'm going to say about that. Any other discussion? Councilmember Watson.
I guess I would like someone, perhaps who made the motion, to tell us why you think for two. Because I'm not sure. I'm still sitting here trying to decide. And
because it's legal to do so, and it's I'm pro-business.
Okay. Other questions or comments?
And it's healthy to have competitive businesses, and we could use the tax revenue.
That'd be a close one. Councilmember Olson.
Speaking of tax revenue, how much have we got on that?
Our treasurer gets to speak. Mr. Peterson.
All I've seen is just normal sales tax on our one retail store.
Which has been open how many months now?
At least 6 or 7.
So 6 or 7 months?
This money coming from the state, I haven't seen
of that. September. But that would he would not pay that. That would be coming from the state. He pays the sales tax, not this large influx of cash.
I'm not seeing anything of this large influx from the state.
Thank you.
Yet. Only normal sales tax.
I'd like to address the competition thing is false. Having been in the business, and I keep saying that, they're going to go where it's cheaper. So if they have to drive two counties away, spend twice as much in gas as what they're going to get in savings by buying it, they'll do it. So we have plenty, as both guys have testified, we have plenty of stores around here, so there is plenty of competition. So I don't see it that as an item. But that's me.
Any other discussion on the motion before you? Councilmember Goodrich.
I'm kind of stuck at what Councilmember Olson states, just from my experience working in a local hardware store here in town. We'll have people say, well, gee, I can get that cheaper at Home Depot. And they'll walk out of our store and drive all the way to Home Depot and save, you know, a quarter. And, or whatever. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah, everything is that way. You know, they'll go find it wherever the cheapest, you know, place is. You know, if they have to drive it.
I realize the public hearing is closed. I intend to keep it closed unless you feel like you want it.
Yes, I'm trying to vote.
I think closed.
Okay, we will follow our rules. Are you ready for the question? The motion before you is to limit. Is that right? The limit to one. Where are we at now? I've got lost.
Expand the number of retail stores from 1 to 2.
Yes, I meant two stores. We'll do roll call vote again.
Okay. Councilmember Birch.
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich?
No.
Councilmember Czar?
Yes.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
We have a close vote, a 4-3 vote.
which means all sorts of interesting things, but we won't go there at the moment. And I believe those in favor were Saar, Hansen, Taylor, and Birch. Those opposed, Goodrich, Watson, and Olson. Councilor. Mr. Burnett.
Mr. Mayor and Council, as we currently stand, unless there are additional amendments, if there were to be a motion, you could make a motion to approve the changes as identified in your packet. You have not yet made any changes to the packet.
I thought those three motions were to make our changes.
Correct, but there are some other various changes.
Oh, the other various edits.
Chapter.
Code scrap.
You could adopt this agenda bill and roll in all of what you've done along with any other change of wordings or what have you that's already in.
So specifically mentioning what I pointed out, is that what you're saying?
Right. So if you wanted to keep the ordinance as written, you could do that now. It would be supported by your three separate motions. But if you did want to change anything in here, then we would need a further vote to change that and then another one to adopt that which has not been changed.
You're right. And I did speak with the city attorney with regard to the issue that Councilmember Olson has raised. It is likely that we would want to wordsmith it a little bit afterwards rather than just a line item. So I think that we could. Would we need to bring it back, Bannon, or would we need to? So if we got the general gist from you, then we could wordsmith it as you've indicated.
I trust you both immensely.
Council, just a quick point of order.
Oh, yeah.
I did not declare the motion passed because I was consulting with Susan Duncan. And I will veto that last vote. It was a 4-3 vote, and I'm limited to one store.
So no, I thought it was. No, you've got that backwards.
I thought it was pretty clear in my motion to expand it from 1 to 2.
Yep.
Right, and it passed 4-3, right?
Right.
So I'm expressing a veto over that, so that it did not pass. I believe I can.
Can you state the rules for the rest of council on if they want to overcome a veto?
It would take 5. Yeah. So if you want to revisit and take another vote, 5 would override the veto.
The audience is having trouble hearing. Sorry, guys.
The mayor just vetoed the vote to go from 2 stores.
When you have a 4-3 vote, the mayor can exercise the right to veto that. It takes 5 votes to override a veto. So I'm exercising that veto tonight to limit it to 1 store.
Wow, okay. I don't know that the mayor's ever done that before. So.
Elections have consequences.
First time for everything. Yeah, elections do have consequences, I guess.
What is the next item?
Does anyone want to fight it? You need 5.
If the 3 no votes, one of you would have to change your mind.
So if I ask for reconsideration, because I voted no, or would it have to be? I'm not comfortable with you vetoing a vote of the council.
I think you could do that. A parliamentary reconsideration has to be done at the next meeting, doesn't it? I think they're not supposed to be rushed. Mr. Burnett.
Council, you all need to really speak into your microphones because it is controversial. It might be something that is subject to appeal, so it is important that we get it all in the record.
Okay, so I'm looking to our city attorney. There was a 4-3 vote. A mayor can veto certain things, not other things, but...
You're asking about the thing and whether or not you can do that?
Yes.
I'd have to look at your code.
Okay.
I don't think the audience is
you
sure
bet.
What's going on.
We just voted, the council just voted on whether to go from 1 store to 2 stores retail.
Okay, and you're relying on what your city clerk is telling you, because I'm assuming you're looking at the code, and which
yeah. he can do that.
Okay. I would trust her if she has the code in front of her. I can look at it if you'd like.
Sure. I think we're okay. Unless council wants to read it.
The attorney should look at the code and give us some.
Council, go ahead.
I would recommend that the attorney look at the code to see if the mayor has the right to veto the vote.
Yeah.
How
do you want to handle this? You could take a break, and I could look at it with Susan, or...
Let's do that. 10-minute break.
Okay, Dan and Troxler for the record. So what I see in the city's code and in the statute is that Mayor Meschler does have the authority to veto the 4-3 vote, but he can't veto it at this meeting. It has to be presented to him as an ordinance normally would be for signature, and then he has to return it to you with written findings stating the reason for his veto, which could come back to you at the next meeting. And at that point, you review his reasoning, and then you can put it up for reconsideration at that time. Which is that makes sense, too. Yeah. It gives you time to reconsider if that's what you so choose.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And they can re-vote at that time, too, I believe. Right? Yeah. Sounds good.
Where in the code?
Where in the code does it say that?
I already closed it. RCW.
It's actually RCW. It's not Ferndale code. It's RCW.
Is it part of the code? The code says use the RCW.
And we can follow up with the details. Okay.
If you could just send it to all the council so we all know where we stand.
So we have gone through the menu. Mr. Burnett?
You have gone through the menu. However, there are still some additional modifications, wording that is not substantive, but we do recommend you modify. So...
I can just make a motion.
A motion could be to adopt the agenda item as written.
Oh.
I have a question.
Councilmember Olson? No.
I would go along with that, but not as written. You're going to wordsmith this. There's a difference.
I can word it in such a way.
Okay.
I'll word it in such a way.
Okay.
Councilmember Sarah?
If the veto needs to happen after the fact, does that last motion pass then, for the record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the record. Thank you. How do you state that? The last motion for two retail passed 4-3, and we had the names already recorded. We can say that. I didn't say that at the time because I wasn't sure of the procedure. So wait.
This is a very expensive meeting.
The best ones are.
Yeah. Could pay for my health insurance. It's not nice to whisper about other people.
I want to be lean tonight, so I'm going to be lean. Councilman Watson, do you plan to change your vote if we bring this back? Because if you are, I'm not going to veto it.
I don't know. I'm actually very uncomfortable with you vetoing a vote of council. I understand you have very personal views about this issue, but I'm also very uncomfortable about the mayor vetoing something based on his personal feelings. So, yeah, I'm probably going to change my vote if you try it. I don't want two stores, but I want you to understand that you shouldn't be vetoing things just because you personally have some issue with it.
Well,
I'm in the same boat with Councilmember Watson. I don't like the idea. Of two stores. I voted against it, but the majority of the council, we don't always get what we want when we sit up here and vote. And you know, we take our lump sometimes and we move on. And that's the way I feel that you should do on this as well, is that, you know, even though you're opposed to it, I'm opposed to it. I don't think it's right to tell the council, I'm sorry, I'm going to usurp your authority type of a thing.
Fair enough. And I'll think about it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm not going to be here at the next council meeting. I'm going to be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean someplace on the 16th. So
hopefully on a boat.
Yes, I'm on the 16th, so I won't be here to vote one way or another, unfortunately, which could end up being in a 3-3 tie.
Yeah.
And then he gets to break the tie.
Yeah.
Dana Traxler, Gengarias.
Welcome back.
Thank you. So since the ordinance hasn't been vetoed because it can't be vetoed till later. If you wanted to make additional changes, like if you wanted to deal with the church issue and if you wanted to deal with the wordsmithing issue, you could go ahead and do that and change the ordinance. And if you decide you want to veto it later, you would need to be specific about your reasons and what you're actually doing in the ordinance. That would maybe make it cleaner, and that way you're not dealing with extra stuff at the next meeting.
Do you still need one of us to make a motion to accept the edits that you've done so far?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would make a motion to accept the edits to the...
ones provided by Yori?
Yes. The edits that we...
those edits.
Yeah. The edits in the document so far.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept the edits, as Yori has explained them to us.
Just the edits. That has nothing to do with your change. It's just the edits that they've made to the document so far. So all the lines and the different colors, all those, we're just saying we accept those as they are based on the other votes that we've had this evening.
And that would mean this isn't being voted on?
You would be voting on it, and that way we would get that complete package of the council's wishes.
Not your changes. No.
And they'd have to come back and do his changes, bring those back?
You could indicate a preference for those changes now. We would wordsmith it. It would then go to the mayor for signature, where the mayor would determine what to do with that, and then it could perhaps come back to you if in fact it is vetoed.
So you want a friendly amendment to what she just said?
Or you could continue with doing and those changes, and then you could make another motion for your changes.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to...
this is a convoluted.
This is very
convoluted. How you want that section C changed?
Simple. Take out that one sentence, the first sentence in section C.
Is that your motion? To amend the my motion? Okay. Is there a second?
I think Teresa seconded it, I think. Right.
Does that work?
Legally, does that work? Some of the power purposes for the plate?
I'm sorry.
Is this boilerplate that we're taking out? Or?
Thanks.
Right. And the first sentence is the federal.
Right.
No, that's
the deals
with
Chapter
1650. That was
Are you ready for the vote?
Susan, could you...
So Councilmember Olson moved, and was it Councilmember Taylor that seconded that? To...
I think it was Greg.
Oh, sorry. No. Hanson. To... to amend...
Was it you?
The motion to accept the edits and additionally strike section...
The first sentence and...
The first section.
First
modified portion. The first sentence.
Right.
Modified.
Oof, this is ugly. Sorry, Steph.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that that's what.
So I think this is going to be a voice vote.
I need the original motion, so we'll have to go.
Motion seconds. Ready for the vote? This time a voice vote. All in favor of the editorial changes say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Okay, it passed 7-0.
But we didn't vote on the amendment. So we have to vote on the amendment first.
And amendments first.
And that was that the amendment?
That was the amendment.
Okay.
Now
is the editorial change.
So for the record, I voted aye. I just.
Okay. Would someone please restate the main motion, please?
I'm lost.
I am too.
Keith Eddish. Okay. So now this is the broad. All amendments.
Amendment.
Okay, so you understand the motion is just to accept the editorial amendments. It already includes Keith's change.
It's too late.
Voice vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the mayor is prepared to make the announcement, I will not veto it because there's not hard support to sustain it. You don't want me to do it. You don't want me to do it. So I will not be exercising a veto on this vote. It would be a waste of time.
Thank you.
You guys are like ready to die on the cross for this thing? I'd do it, but I don't think so.
What about a cross?
Yori, where are we at on this thing?
Beat the hell out of something.
Now that that decision has been made, staff feels that the city council has made their decision with regard to this issue, which can bring us to the next agenda item.
The moratorium.
The moratorium.
Okay.
As shown to you in the next agenda item, there would need to be no changes to the moratorium removal ordinance, the ordinance repealing the moratorium, because the City of Ferndale has now made their decision with regard to recreational and medicinal marijuana. If you adopt this next agenda item, the moratorium would be lifted simultaneously with the effective date of the previous action item.
Is there a motion?
Motion to repeal the marijuana retail moratorium.
It's been moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Hansen to lift the moratorium. Is there discussion? Councilmember Goodrich.
If the moratorium were to stay in place, what time frame are we looking at with it? Is it, didn't we have a...
You would need to hold a public hearing on that moratorium to develop findings and findings of fact within 90 days. 90 days of the moratorium, which would give you basically the next council meeting. You would need to establish those findings of fact. It could then remain in place until the first meeting in May or thereabouts before being extended or repealed.
So we never have the findings and fact. We're still in that first 90-day window?
Correct. What would be unclear to staff, and you don't necessarily need to address it at this time, is what emergency would still exist at this point. But you don't need to make that decision tonight.
Any other discussion, questions by council? The motion before you is to lift the moratorium. Are you ready for the question? We'll do a voice vote. All in favor of lifting the moratorium, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. I'm sorry, did you? I'm waiting for the nay over here.
Oh, no, I wanted to let him see what 6-1 looks like.
So I believe you had a
move point.
There you go. Was that an abstain for you?
No, I said yes.
Okay, thank you. So 6-1 with Councilmember Goodman's voting no. The moratorium is lifted, and the modified ordinance on 502 will be implemented as well.
I even wrote Councilmember Olson opposed it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Of course you just
have it.
Have
it. Have it.
How are we doing, Yuri?
Good.
Yes.
If it pleasures the City Council, we don't have enough time tonight to discuss the land use element. What we would propose is possibly combining that with a presentation on the transportation element for the second meeting in February. That would work well together, in fact.
Does that meet with your approval to change the agenda that way? So what would you wish to cover this evening? We still have a couple things left.
I would wish to rest my legs and let other people take
Okay, them. So we are down to the star part. Are we going to do Wyra? Okay, who has this? Okay, Greg. Letter H, Wyra, interlocal.
Next item is the Wyra, which stands for the Water Resource Inventory Area. The state of Washington is broken down into a number of these watersheds. And one of the purposes, one of the predominant purposes, is to facilitate salmon recovery because the different salmon species are usually indigenous to various and sometimes different watersheds. So part of the Wyra process has been an ongoing process that the legislature determined was in the best interest of the citizens of the state, whereby it was a grassroots effort. All the different interest groups would get together, and that was the what was called the planning unit in Whatcom County. The planning unit has been in existence for probably a decade or more. And now they're proposing to reorganize the Wyra and reorganize the salmon enhancement efforts, predominantly for two reasons. One is, from a funding mechanism, historically the county has funded the planning unit, but right now that funding has been used up. And so this reorganization would allow the county as well as others to seek funding for the salmon recovery independent of the county. It would not obligate the City of Ferndale for any funding, but it would open up the possibility for state and federal grants through the Puget Sound Partnership, which is the state conduit through which the federal funds flow. The other is the reorganization into a policy board, and what this really is, it's hoping that it'll somewhat streamline the efforts on salmon enhancement by bringing together the tribes as well as the other local governments and the state into a reorganized effort to strategize and push forward those salmon enhancement efforts that the local countywide groups feel the most appropriate. So this is really a reorganization of the efforts to enhance salmon and bring back the salmon species that are threatened. It does not obligate the city for any funding. We in Ferndale, we've been taking part in the WIRA process, and we will continue to take part in the WIRA process. I was actually the representative from the Small Cities Caucus, and will continue to do so. So it really doesn't change the efforts. It does streamline us. It puts us more in line with the EPA funding model, and this is something that the county and the other cities in the county, as long as the PUD, have also approved. So we would recommend approval so we can move forward and hopefully bring a little more guidance to the county.
Questions of Mr. Young? Councilman Watson.
I'm uncomfortable with the PUD being a voting member. I mean, they're the only member that actually has sort of a monetary interest in how much water is flowing through the river as opposed to everyone else. So I'm just uncomfortable with them. I don't understand why they're suddenly becoming a voting member of the board.
They've always been in the there's various groups, and there was actually one group that included the county, Bellingham, the two tribes, and the PUD. Mm-hmm. And this was the group that had, so far unsuccessfully, but had attempted to work out the water allocation models around the county. The reason why the PUD was involved is that the PUD, they have more water rights than anyone else. And so much of the water that could theoretically be allocated to farmers and to the fish, as well as cities, is actually controlled through the water rights of the PUD. So this change doesn't enhance, it actually maintains the involvement of the PUD along with, the other co-managers, which would be the city of Bellingham that has a large water right through Lake Whatcom, and also the Fish and Wildlife. So this isn't changing how the PUD is involved in it. It is just kind of reorganizing, keeping them in one of the...
It just appears that by putting them on the board, they now do have a vote. And
they always had a vote.
Okay. That's not how I read it, but I will.
Yeah.
Other questions of staff? Councilman Birch.
I make the motion that we approve the WIRA interlocal agreement.
Second.
So moved by Councilmember Birch, seconded Councilman Taylor to include the WIRA to adopt the WIRA agreement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay?
No.
It passed 6-1 with Councilmember Watson voting nay. Star Park. Mr. Sweeney.
It's getting late. I'll keep this short. We're building the Star Park. To do that, we need to order the stuff now. So it's here by May 31st through June 5th, for those on the peanut seats. May 31st to June 5th, we're building the Star Park. We need 900 volunteers, and if you haven't signed up, you can sign up at cityofferndale.org/starpark. The issue before you guys, it's a big bill, I understand. However, if we're going to build it, we need the pieces. So, as was discussed in committee, this is a list of everything we need, down to the rolls of duct tape. Our goal is to get as much as possible of that donated. Obviously, there's some parts that we cannot get donated, but we're asking for approval for the whole amount so that we can hopefully shoot under that.
Questions by council, Councilmember Watson.
I love you dearly, but has someone in Public Works looked at this? Because I know you and Tools, and so
yes, yeah, it's been a teamwork.
Yeah.
Okay, so someone knows the pointy end of the screwdriver knows.
Okay. The communication major was not the lead.
I was trying not to say that.
I know. Okay. I know.
Councilman LaBerge.
Can we recoup any of this money that we are a grant to tonight?
So we got the lovely grant. We will be reimbursed up to $234,000, I believe. So this money will come back.
Yeah.
Other questions?
So we're approving the $248,000?
Yes.
That's what we're approving?
Yeah.
But only if you make a motion.
Yeah. I'll second that.
It's been moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Hansen to approve the expenditure for Star Park materials and to have Riley build the whole thing himself on the weekend.
Sounds good.
That's the last part.
What could go wrong?
You have an idea for furniture.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Mayor reports, just one. Thank you. Thank you very much. We had a theft in our church orbit of a beloved, expensive guitar. I don't know the brand, but the last name was Hellraiser, so that kind of guitar. The person that lost had it stolen from, called the Ferndale police at about noon on Sunday morning, and by 5 o'clock that afternoon they had located that guitar at a pawn shop. So I was amazed and very appreciative for my friend and the incredible work of the Ferndale Police Department. Here you go. Council members, any reports? Councilmember Goodrich.
As I stated earlier, I will not be here at the next council meeting. My wife and I are taking a cruise from Los Angeles to Hawaii and back. So
way to go.
We're out in the middle of the Pacific.
There you go.
So I must miss the council meeting.
Thank you. Any other council members have a report? Councilmember Olson.
I never do these, but what I saw here tonight, I want to apologize to the chief for the attacks that weren't necessary by the two self-serving individuals trying to dispute what you said, and they could have done it with a little more class by just saying this.
Other reports by council members? Moving on to staff. Let's just go down the line here. Community Development Director Burnett?
Nothing.
Public Works Director Rent?
We awarded the contract for the crosswalk, and we'll be going forward with that.
We did. Exciting. Our city treasurer.
Yeah.
Our chief of police. And our city administrator.
We're doing well. I think I look like we're doing some personnel changes, and I think it's really going to work out well. So I just appreciate all of our staff looking to try to better the city. So.
Communications officer Riley and special projects person, everything else you do in between?
Two quick items. The LTAC committee met today, and so you will be seeing a recommendation for that on the agenda for the committees. It was a great meeting, a lot of really productive. Thank you to Councilmember Hansen, Councilmember Bush for attending. The other thing is we've had internal meetings about the Star Park with all the staff members that are going to be involved, as well as meeting with our core committee. And I'm really excited. We've got a good group of people, and we've got a plan. So my panic levels are about an 8 out of 10, but they were at 10. So this is good. It's going to happen.
Thank you. City Clerk Duncan.
Nothing.
I would entertain a motion to dismiss.
So moved.
Second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.